Okay, I have a question for you, and it isn't a trick question. I want you to answer this honestly. When it comes to communicating with potential clients, who would you rather have a conversation with? Someone who's basically said, feel free to contact me. I'm quite interested in what you have to say. Or perhaps you'd rather have a conversation with someone who's expressed zero interest. Today, we're going to be talking about why every sales rep needs to have potential clients who have opted in to receive their emails. My name is Paul Castain, and I'm the author of the Your Sales Playbook blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 10,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. So there are basically two different categories with lots of different flavors when it comes to email. And if we were to put them into two headings, right, two different categories, the first one would be unsolicited emails. Now, you know, and that kind of sounds like nastier than it is. It really isn't. All of us do it. And it's those emails would be the emails that we send where someone has not requested to receive our information or our emails. We're approaching them and continuing to approach them to secure an appointment and or sell them something. Okay, so that's a very familiar one to us. And I would say just about every one of us would probably get a gold star in that one because we're doing it, right? And in addition to those cold calls, I bet lots of us are sending out emails. But the second one is where so many sales reps fall short. And it would, the category that I'm talking about here would be opt-in emails. Now, what an opt-in email is, and you've, by the way, you've opted into things. I mean, for example, if you subscribe to my blog, you've opted in. If you subscribe to my email, my newsletter, you have opted in. Many times when it comes to having people opt in, it's either for that company newsletter, perhaps it's some kind of a free guide. Many times for webinars, you'll find people opting in to receive information. Now, this is where the biggest challenge comes up, and I want you to stay with me on this because I know what you're thinking right about now. You're saying, wow, you know, Paul's going on and on about this. Marketing takes care of that. Marketing is hosting these webinars and sending out these little free guides, and if they opt in and give us their email, they'll get this free handy dandy little ebook, all that kind of thing. But here's the problem. People generally buy you first. I want to say that again. People generally will buy you first and not the company. Now, you're the most qualified person on the planet to market yourself. It's not marketing's job. And I want you to think about that. Does marketing, the marketing department in your company, generally market you? Or do you see them mostly talking about the company and your products and services and maybe customer testimonials, things like that? But you're not being mentioned in there. You're not being made to look like the rock star that you are. And yet that's a very important thing. So if we know that people generally buy you first and you're the most qualified person to be marketing you, I want to tell you that when you have people who want to get emails from you, here's what's going to happen now. First of all, when they've said, yeah, I'm very interested in what you have to say, now you can start to educate them. Now, do you think it's important that you educate potential clients? Because I really do. And there's so many different ways that you could be educating them. It could be on topics that relate to what they do. But another huge thing that you can do is educate them on how to buy your product or service properly. And let me ask you a question, because this one really should hit home with you. Do you ever feel that people like make the wrong decision, that they go with a competitor because they bought solely on price or because they heard this one thing and it sounded so good, but they didn't read the fine print and realize that in the long run, they're going to be spending more money or they're going to have more headaches? People many times make the wrong decision. I mean, it happens. So when you're in a position of educating them, you can help them make the right decision. In fact, let me just give you an example from my world. I compete against so many people who are sales trainers. Some, and I hesitated there, some who, I'm not here to be nasty, but some who call themselves sales trainers or quote-unquote consultants, and they're nothing more than people who are between positions. I feel bad for them. They're unemployed. They need to call themselves a consultant. So there's just so many people out there saying that they're sales trainers, and yes, many of them are sales trainers, but to a person who has to make a decision on sales training, would you guys agree? I mean, many of us probably just look the same to them. So what happens when people look the same is that they default to price. That is the wrong way to hire a sales trainer. So there's so many things now that I can educate people on to make a better decision. So I'll give you one example, and the example is, when people are looking to hire a sales trainer, one of the questions that they should be asking any sales trainer, and by the way, including these speakers that they get to do their event, like this time of year, everybody's talking to me about coming in and helping them with their kickoff in January and all that. And one of the things I always tell them, one of the questions like non-negotiable that you have to ask anyone looking to come in and do a speech, anyone looking to come in and train your team, it's very simple. One of the questions, and there are many, is what happens after that speech? What are you going to do to ensure that everyone in that room retains what you taught them and that they take these like concepts that you taught them and turn them into actionable items? Because you see, that's the problem with a lot of sales training. It's like this big Tony Robbins rah-rah speech. And by the way, I love Tony Robbins. So I don't want to take that like beating up on the guy. Guy's like about 7 feet taller than me. But I mean, I think he's awesome. But you get these people that come in there and they get everybody pumped up and motivated, and then it's like a Red Bull adrenaline rush. There's nothing after that. So what people did basically was spend thousands and thousands of dollars, in many cases tens of thousands of dollars, for a rah-rah speech that lasted about as long as a Red Bull. So when you have proper retention mechanisms in place, well, that can change the whole trajectory of the experience. So that's one of the things, one of the many things that I educate my audience on. I bet you have things like that to help them make a better decision. So the first thing that you gain when you have people who want to get emails from you is the opportunity to educate them to make a more informed decision. You can also help them out with helpful ideas, tips, and resources. Also, when you have people who have opted in, who want to get these emails from you, you can now demonstrate your expertise, you can establish your authority and credibility. You can also build a relationship. Don't you think you can that way? If you have someone who basically wants to hear from you, and if now you have this opportunity to help them, give them ideas, tips, resources, and you're building your credibility, you're basically building a relationship, right? And when you're building a relationship, then you begin to establish this concept of propinquity, which of course, if by now, man, I mean, you got to realize, I use that word a lot. Right? I feel like in The Princess Bride, remember that? You use that word a lot. I do not think it means what you think it means. But the definition of propinquity is that nearness and closeness and kinship. And what I always tag on to that is this concept of continually bumping into someone who becomes a familiar face. And every time you run into them or bump into them, in this case through email, it's a quality experience. It's not a sleazy experience. It's not like, hey, you know, I bumped into this person. Let me check and see if they just like, you know, took my wallet, right? Where you're giving them some degree of value. Now, in doing this, when you're establishing these things, where you're educating them and offering helpful ideas, tips, and resources, and you're demonstrating your expertise and establishing your credibility and your authority, and like I said, this whole relationship thing and the spirit of propinquity, in doing that, three opportunities can be created. Number one, people actually approach you for a change. So let me ask you a question. When people approach you as opposed to you approaching them, do you feel that that deal usually goes along a little bit smoother and a little bit quicker? Because I do. Now, I want to lay out something very, very clearly. We are not under any circumstances to sit and wait by the phone or by the computer for that to happen. You know, side note, I actually worked with someone years ago who was a recruiter. And when this guy had, and I'm sorry to like beat up on the guy, but it just always sickened me. He'd have these opportunities out there and you'd see him, he was just waiting for the phone to ring. Like he was never proactive and never like calling places and saying, hey, you know, what did you think of that candidate or calling the candidates or whatever. He was waiting for them to come to him. And again, not here to judge the world, but just really wasn't my particular style. So the first opportunity is you have people approaching you for a change. The second one is when you pick up the phone to call them. And that's something, quite frankly, we got to be doing, right? We can't wait for them to call us. But when we're picking up the phone to call them, you have to know it's going to be a warmer call, right? Because, I mean, you already have the relationship. So now when I pick up the phone and call people who have opted in to receive my emails, and we've had some exchanges, right? And I've, you know, emailed, and I shouldn't even say exchanges. When I have even emailed them and they've had this visit from me regularly, there's no conversation about like Paul Castain who. There's no conversation about that, I can tell you. I mean, I can't even remember the last time that's happened. I don't even think it's happened any year since I've owned my business, and I've owned my business for 5.5 years. And that's very different than a cold call. Now, again, I always feel this need to kind of over-explain that concept because people get really shitty the minute you, like, propose that you could actually have a warmer call than a cold call. Now, just to put everybody at ease, have both. There's plenty of room for all of these ideas to survive together, but we should never reject ideas because we just feel so defensive over a cold call, or so defensive over LinkedIn, or so defensive over LinkedIn. Keep your mind open for other ideas. That's what I'm trying to do in these podcasts, give you a different way of looking at how you can build your business. So it's not one versus the other. So remember, item number two is that when you pick up the phone, it's a warmer call because you already have somewhat of a relationship if you look at it, right? But number three is very, very interesting. The third thing that you can establish from building these email relationships is that if they know, like, and trust you, and they have that feeling and spirit of propinquity with you, it's easy to forward those emails along to coworkers, to their boss, to vendors, to, you know, other people who might be able to use your products or services. So in essence, what you're doing there is you're getting a referral from someone who's never done business with you, but they like you, they know you, they trust you, they have that feeling of propinquity. So it really helps that. And it's really nice, I think, to have things that are working in the background. So to me, like one of the things I always talk to my coaching clients about is the need to have a background program running while you're doing other things. So what do I mean by a background program? I mean something like these emails, for example, that you're sending out scheduled broadcast emails to people who have said, I want to get emails from you. And you're sending these out on a regular basis. But while you send those out, now you're on the phone and you're making outbound calls, or maybe you're at a networking event, or maybe you're on LinkedIn, maybe you're door knocking, right? It doesn't matter. But while you're off doing other things, heck, it could be servicing your accounts. It could be you could be off on vacation. And while you're doing that, you have these things working for you. And, you know, I just got to add this little thing in there. When I said on vacation, many times I talk about how over the summer, I'm able to take a good amount of camping trips because, as many of you know, I love camping. This year, by the way, it worked out to 5. It was one less than I had taken the year before. And that's okay because they were 5 of the most awesome camping trips that I can remember, like, ever. I just had such a good time, so relaxed and chilling out, smoking every damn cigar in the book, man. I brought, like, samplers out with me. I had such a good time. And part of the way I'm able to do that is by having some emails out there scheduled, pre-scheduled, while I'm off doing something else. But I will also tell you the day that I realized how important this concept of having a background program was. Two summers ago, my two boys were lifeguarding at one of the town pools. So it was a day that my wife was off, and I was home that day, which was a rare type of thing. And my wife said to me, if you don't have anything going, why don't we go down to the pool? We can hang out with the boys. We could, get a little sun because we're both like pale as anything right now. And just kind of have a nice, relaxing day. Now, it was right when I was launching one of our courses. So I said, yeah, sure, no problem. Now, I'll never forget, I had an email blast going out that day. And as fate would have it, that email blast went out just as I was laying down on the beach chair at the pool, hanging out. And the whole time I'm sitting there enjoying a nice cold soda, chilling out. My sons, whenever they were on a break, would come over, give the old man a hard time here. Just having a blast. We were running into neighbors and talking. And the whole time while I was there, PayPal kept going off. And every time PayPal was going off, it was someone else buying one of my courses. And I realized the power of it then, in that I was able to be two places at the same time. Here I was enjoying hanging out with my family, and I was making money. Now, many of you might be thinking, yeah, that's great for somebody like you, Castain, because you probably have, a gazillion people on your email list. And also, you're selling a webinar, or selling a course. I don't sell that. I sell, printing, or I sell this. It's no different. The only difference is that you're not going to have PayPal going off. I mean, it's when you send things out and you know how to generate leads through email, maybe asking someone a question and they respond back. And now you're opening a dialogue up with them. I mean, anybody can use those techniques. It's just the point is, are you sticking with just the first one where you're going after people that have not asked you to send them things? Again, I want to be very clear. You need that. Keep doing that. I'm not here to tell you that my way is to replace it. My way is to complement that with people who have actually said, hey, I want to receive things from you. Hey, I want to learn more. Hey, help me to get better at whatever. So, it's just something that you want to think about. Now, my question to you is this, and I alluded to it before. What do you think happens when you have an opportunity with someone who feels as though they already know you? In fact, I will tell you, many people, by the time I get on the phone with them, they tell me that all the time. Paul, I feel like I already know you. I mean, you've been showing up in my inbox, and they'll name other things too. But the number one thing that they usually tell me is, you've been showing up in my inbox, right? I look forward to your emails. Now, think about that. How many people say, I look forward to your cold calls? How many people say to you, I look forward to you like hitting me up for a favor through email? I look forward to that email where you're saying, hey, I want to come in and sell you something. It never happens. So it's very interesting to see it kind of turn around like that. So now, when you have someone who feels that they already know you, number one, it's going to be a shorter sales cycle. Do you agree? Because I'm here to tell you, it is, because I'm on the receiving end of this. Number two, there is less probability of objections because, again, they have a comfort level with you. They've had an opportunity, too, to kind of observe you and check you out from afar in a non-salesy, non-threatening type of way. There's also less probability of negotiation. I can tell you that when I generate opportunities through email, because I've established authority and credibility and that whole propinquity thing, there really is, I have very few people who bring up my pricing and why, maybe they'd like me to lower it. So something to think about right now. Or something to think about right there. Now, I want to be clear on something. This isn't one of those one versus the other type of options. I see that so many times in sales. And many times, again, to kind of play Dr. Phil here, I think we fabricate this one versus the other thing Because deep down, we're afraid of the thing that makes us uncomfortable. So if we just look at it like it's threatening the thing that we've done all along, it's easier to dismiss it. What I'm here to tell you is that all of these things that we talk about in sales, whether it be emails that are cold or emails where they've opted in, a cold call versus a warm call. It could be LinkedIn versus cold calling. It could be traditional networking versus social networking. Stop with this either or shit. It is limiting you. I'll never forget to quote a bad movie, but you know, like one of those bad movies that you're almost ashamed to say, yeah, but I liked it, right? There was this movie that was out, man, it was probably like the early 90s. I want to say it was like 1991. It was called Mobsters, and it had Christian Slater in it, and it had Patrick Dempsey and all that. And, you know, I kind of liked the movie. I got to tell you the truth, because I like those kind of movies. And I'll never forget, there's a scene in the movie where Christian Slater, who played Lucky Luciano, comes across... it wasn't Meyer Lansky. I can't think of the guy's name. Now it's going to bother the heck out of me. But he comes across this guy. Rothstein, right? It was Rothstein that he came across, I think it was. And so Rothstein says to him, like the minute he meets him, and he says, okay, quick, you're walking down the street, and all of a sudden approaching you rapidly are two gunmen. Hands in their pockets, guns drawn, coming at you. You look out of your side vision or whatever it is, off to the left, and there are two more gunmen approaching you. Who do you? And he's starting to say, "Who do you shoot first?" And Lucky Luciano interrupts him, and he says, "I reject the question. In order to survive, I have to kill them both." And here in sales, you don't have to kill them both. We're not talking about killing people. That's the good news. Nobody's going to kill you. Your sales might get killed, but nobody's going to kill you. No shots will be fired. But here's the thing. You have to reject the question. Whenever you find yourself in those moments where it's, well, it's cold calling versus this, or it's LinkedIn versus that. Paul's talking about two different types of emails. It's this opt-in thing, which sounds like a real pain in the ass, like he wants to make me into a marketing type of person, versus unsolicited. Don't you dare choose. Nobody has to choose. They can all live and coexist together. So now, here's the million-dollar question. If both of these, both opt-in and unsolicited emails, can survive quite nicely together, do you use them both? And remember, you're not allowed to tell me that the marketing department doesn't. I mean, are you using both? Are you sending out both unsolicited and emails where people have said, I want to receive emails from you? Because if you aren't, here's where the little sales pitch comes in. I want you to seriously consider joining us on November 3rd at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, because we're going to be talking all about this. Now, before we go on, by now you should know the deal with me. You might be thinking, oh, man, I was interested, Castain. But, like, you know, I got something going on November. I'm going to be away, man. I'm going to be drunk that day. I get my back waxed that day. I don't know. Got a thing. Sign up anyway, because I always deliver them live and I record them, and I will send you the recording later that day. But let me tell you what you're going to gain by joining us. So the first thing that I want you to think about is we're going to talk about how to create your own email list, right? Where you can get a potential client who willingly signs up for your emails. So how can you go about getting a potential client to willingly sign up for your emails? We're also going to talk about 15 types of emails. Let me say that again. 15 different types of emails, along with the subject lines that get opened and responded to. And you're going to get the benefit of my experience, because I've been building my list now for almost 5 years. I was late to the party with that, by the way. I should have been building it longer than that. But for the last 5 years I've been building it. And I know the emails traditionally where I get higher open rates, where I get more responses. And, you know, just like you guys, I don't like reinventing the wheel. So if I measure it and I see what works, I do more of it. So to me, it's been like one big laboratory, and you get the benefit of all the experiments. We're going to talk about how to establish rapport, credibility, and again, my favorite word, propinquity. We're going to talk about how to dominate in a competitive industry. And remember who is teaching you that lesson. Somebody who does a pretty good job of dominating in a really competitive industry. And I will tell you something right now. I am not the cheapest guy in town. In fact, I make it very clear I will not negotiate. I absolutely will not. And I still kick ass. So, and again, that sounded rather arrogant, but I'm not going to be shy about it. We're going to talk about how to generate leads through email. So if you'd like to learn more, I want you to stop by and visit yoursalesplaybook.com/leads. Let me say it again. To learn more, visit yoursalesplaybook.com/leads. I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com, and I am wishing you an awesome week ahead. Go get them, folks. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.